Well, we are in a sermon series through in this season of Advent. And Advent, of course, is this season that begins in the month of December. And it's a significant season because we recognize that even as those who waited for Christ to come into the world received their King, we live in a time when we are anticipating and looking towards all the good things that God is doing in our lives and all the things he ultimately will do in our world. And so it's a time of anticipation. It's a time of expectation. It's a time of longing. And the last couple of weeks, we've taken a look at what I would consider to be some heavy themes, especially when it comes to the emotions that surround us around this time of year. And we want to recognize that. You know, Christmas is a time when we know intuitively we're supposed to be happy, we're supposed to be joyful, but it's also the time of the year where sometimes the losses that we have experienced, those that we've lost, we feel those things more acutely. We miss them more deeply in this season. Sometimes the disappointments that we've experienced in life seem to be enhanced at this time of the year. We're more mindful of them. The heaviness of the emotions that we're going through can be more difficult to navigate at this time of the year because of some of those things that I've mentioned. And so, you know, we've had the opportunity to deal with some of those things head on, and I think it's important to do so. But this week, I want to bring a message on the simplicity of the joy of this season. And I wanted to emphasize that because I think it's so important just to kind of reflect on the joy that Christ has brought into our lives and the joy that is all around us and present in our lives. And so it's something I think we really need to get into our spirits to get the most out of this season as we consider the coming of Christ into the world. And as I mentioned at the beginning of this series, we are working through some of the passages from the church lectionary. And so this is year A, and many of the Old Testament passages come from the prophet Isaiah. Now, as I was wanting to speak on the theme of joy this morning, I was anticipating, okay, well, I'm building these sermons off of these Advent passages, and I wanted to speak on joy, but I knew, okay, I can't force the issue. I have to preach whatever is in these passages and allow these passages to bring the theme to bear. And so I was really pleasantly surprised when I opened up the book of Isaiah, because Isaiah is like 99% woe to you, woe to me, woe to them, woe to those over there, woe to everyone, right? It's a big woe passage. And so this was a diamond in the rough, shall we say. When I opened up this chapter and read it, I was like, wow, maybe God really does want me to speak on joy this morning. So Isaiah 35, verse 1 through 10 says, "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus," which is a spring flower, for those of you who don't know. "It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on the way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there, and those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away." A passage of joy in Isaiah. Who would have thought? Now, if I'm going to give a sermon on joy this Advent season, I thought, okay, we better start with a definition of joy. What do we mean when we talk about this word joy? And I think that most of us recognize there's a difference between joy and happiness, even though we see sometimes those things as being synonyms. Joy and happiness, there's a bit of a separation there between the two. Happiness is great, but happiness can be more fleeting and more dependent on our circumstances. And joy is not. Joy is not contingent upon our circumstances. Joy is not merely an emotion. Joy is often a choice that we make. And here's some ways that I would define what joy is. Joy is being content in the moment and optimistic of the future, which I think our passage speaks to a lot this morning. It's being content in the moment and optimistic of our future. It's this. It's confidence that God will give you the strength to endure whatever comes your way, to face whatever comes your way, that God is going to give you the strength to face it. That's joy. Joy is this confidence in God doing what he says that he is going to do. Joy doesn't come from what you have. Joy is the realization that there is something that God has deposited deep down inside you that can never be taken away. That's joy. It's deeper than just happiness. It's rooted in something foundational deep inside us. There's depth to it. It goes beyond the circumstantial. Joy is depth. Doy. So I want to speak to some key themes that come from us out of this passage in Isaiah, come to us out of this passage in Isaiah. The first is simply this: the joy is here. Joy is here. The prophecy that Isaiah is proclaiming is both the here and the not yet. And here's what I mean by that. Many of the things that he is saying, Jesus has already fulfilled. You know, everything that the audience who was hearing Isaiah speak these words, everything that they were hearing was in front of them. For us, it's something different. We're in the here and the not yet. We're in the reality, we're living in the reality of the fact that Christ has come to the world. So many of the things that Isaiah was speaking to, of the lame walking and the blind seeing, the mute speaking, those things were fulfilled in Jesus. And there's a sense in which the joy of the Lord is here. It's come. It's present among us. Think when the angel came to announce Jesus' birth to the shepherds, the announcement was this: I have come to bring you good news of great joy for all people. Today in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior will be born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And there's a sense in which, hey, the presence of Christ has brought joy to the world. It exists. It's among us. It's present all around us in the here and now. And there's so much that we have to be grateful for. As I was contemplating that, I was realizing it's ironic that we've just gone through a season, we're now even in the middle of it, where we move from this day in which we celebrate gratitude and thankfulness, right? And we love Thanksgiving for that. You know, it brings out these wonderful themes of sharing a meal with family and being grateful for everything that has transpired in this past year and recognizing those things, and it lasts for a day. Hopefully for a day. If not, you know, you're doing that Christmas shopping that night, and that's when the shift happens, right? Because we go from gratitude to all of a sudden discontent. And here's what I mean. All the advertising that is thrust upon us, you know, think Black Friday newspaper, like that thick, right? Filled with all the things that you didn't know that you need and now you must have, or else your life will not be full. The new phone that needs to be upgraded because your memory is bad, or your camera is not 30 megapixels, it's only 29, or, you know, your memory your phone is too slow, you know, your TV is not flat enough, your teeth are not white enough. You know, there's all these things that we realize we don't have and we want. And so we look through these advertisements and we're trying to figure out what it is that we want, because people are going to start asking us, what do you want for Christmas? And we don't even know what we want until we see what we don't have. And so there's that season of gratitude that moves into discontentment immediately, because all of a sudden all of your old stuff is old and you need something that's new. And it's ironic, isn't it? I mean, that the season that we're in is like that. And it's important to remember all that we have. It's important to remember the theme of gratitude and the fact that we have everything that we need to be joyful in the here and now. There's this video that wonderfully displays the meaning of gratitude, I think, in this season especially. And many of you have probably seen it before, but I want to show it again. Yeah. So that's a good reminder. Corbett once did that to my entire office. Wrapped up all my pencils, my chair, my computer, everything. It was wonderful. Thank you. But, you know, I mean, the moral of the story, of course, is, hey, don't let what you don't have cloud everything that is already in your life. And to be able to find everything that you need to have joy and to experience joy, you already have. Right? So this theme of joy is here is so important for us to internalize in this moment which we're reaching and grasping for more. Right? Just remember, be present in the moment. Joy is here. You have every reason to be joyful in the moment. And so I want you to take some time at some point, maybe even this afternoon, to, instead of making a gift list — well, you can make a gift list too — make a joy list. Make a joy list. Write down everything that you have to be joyful for in your life. And maybe just a little reflection along those lines might help to lift your spirits this time of the year and not get consumed with consumerism or wrapped up in all this grasping and wanting more, but to recognize all that you have and be overwhelmed by joy this season, because joy is here. And then secondly, joy is coming. We see this theme clearly from the prophet Isaiah. And I love this confident tone that the prophet gives. He says, it will happen. The land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice. It will burst into bloom. These things will happen. And then he hits us with this amazing line. He says, gladness and joy will overtake them. And the imagery of that small little passage just struck me. I love this imagery that joy is chasing you down. That God is pursuing you with joy. And here's the significance of what the prophet is saying. Joy is the default. Joy is what you and I were created for. There's plenty to be joyful of because of what God has already done. And if we are joyless, it's because we have actively worked to avoid it. We've worked to avoid and evade joy in our lives. And if you don't think I'm correct in this assessment, let me challenge you with this. If you've ever traveled to a different part of the world where people are less fortunate, it's always amazing to reflect on the fact that they have so much joy with so much less. And it's this amazing revelation that so many people have when they do travel, as they recognize we are the most depressed nation on earth, the most depressed generation on earth, at least according to how many antidepressants we take, and yet we have the most stuff. We have the most privilege. And so there's this recognition, okay, joy doesn't come from all of that. It isn't in all of that. Joy truly is something that we can grasp. It is a default for each and every one of us. And if we would not seek to run away from it or to avoid it or to evade it, we might experience it in our lives because joy is chasing us down. I was reminded of this in a couple of different ways. One thing I was thinking was when I coached junior high basketball, my wife and I, we both coached together. And we coach a bunch of young boys who have never really played basketball before, which makes it quite entertaining. But I forget that in most moments as I'm coaching because I'm pulling my hair out so frustrated that we're losing and that somebody just decided to throw the ball off some back of somebody's head or, you know, do something just totally stupid. And it's frustrating. It's maddening. It's like, don't go there. Go there. We just went over this. You don't do that. No. You know, I'm just yelling and screaming and I'm trying to get the boys to do what it is that we've drawn up and they're incapable of doing it. And then something will happen. Something will happen that will remind me that this is a game and this is fun. And usually it's this one kid in particular. And he's been so entertaining. It's been such a bright, you know, light for me when it comes to coaching. But he'll do something just ridiculous. I think I told you this maybe a couple of weeks ago. He was at the free throw line. Any of you who don't know basketball, when you take a free throw, it's kind of this quiet moment, you know, in the game. All the chaos kind of settles down, and you get a free shot. You get a free throw, and so you breathe. You sit at the line, and you know. And he's sitting there, and in his first shot, the kid who had fouled him was really frustrated. They got a foul call on him. So as he shot the ball, the kid yelled, you know, and screamed, you're not supposed to do that. And so then the next time he got the ball, because he had two shots, he, instead of taking the shot, he kind of faked it to see if this kid was going to scream. You know, and he faked it again. He kind of looked at him. He faked it again. Well, you don't do that. That's illegal as well. It'll cause lane violations, right? But he didn't know the rules. And so he's looking at this kid. He's like, trying to shoot the basketball. And then later in the game, and every time, I mean, he is just this, you know, he flies around. Actually, he's a great player. He has a lot of potential, but he flies around, and he'll smack into somebody, or somebody will smack into him, and he'll play dead. Like, and you think that, I mean, he's just motionless, you know, limp on the floor, you know, sprawled out, and everybody's like, is there something wrong with this kid? Like, we call the doctor, and I'm like, oh, it's fine, you know. We go over there, hey, you know, we got a pulse. You're alive. Let's go, you know. And it's the best. It's so fun. But I was recognizing, you know, as a coach, I take things so seriously, and I get, you know, veins popping out of my head trying to coach the kids to win. And it's a game, right? It's fun. Like, there's joy to be found in this. Don't lose sight of that in the midst of all the stress and the chaos that you put yourself through. You know, you can evade and you can try to, you know, run away from joy when it's chasing after you, you know, and it's the default. And God wants to bring joy into your life if you'll look around to find it, discover it, to see it. And if you lack joy in your life, let me just suggest, well, stop running from it. And you might say, well, what does that mean? Well, just let it catch up to you. Sometimes we're so worried about what's happening next, or we're so focused on what's coming next, that we forget what's right in front of us. And to enjoy it in the moment and be present in the moment, just appreciate what it is that we have. And so it's, you know, in direct relationship with the point we just made, but we can run away from it sometimes. And it's something that we need to recognize, hey, God has created us for joy and nothing can take that away from us. You know, you can lose your job, but no one can ever take God's purpose away from your life. And you can lose a relationship. You can have relationships that are struggling, but nothing can take away God's love for you. You can lose your health, but nothing can remove God's grace from your life. You can lose your life, but we can recognize that God has created us for eternal life. There's always a perspective that brings joy. Joy is here, and joy is coming. It's what we were created for. Third thing is, joy is contagious. Joy is communal in nature. It really is. It's something that is meant to be shared. The prophet Isaiah is writing to a community of people. They will experience the joy of the Lord, is his repeated refrain. It's this shared experience for the entire community of people. And that is the nature of joy. It can't be contained or isolated to one person. It's meant to be shared. It's contagious. Other people can catch it. Think about joy. It comes out in a smile. It leaks out of our bodies, I guess you could say. It comes out in a smile. It comes out, it's passed on through a hug or through a high five. or a handshake. It's expressed through laughter. Laughter can be contagious. It's expressed through singing and song, something like what we did this morning. It comes out sometimes through tears. But joy, it comes out of us. It's a contagious thing. It's meant to be shared. The nature of joy is that it would be expressed, that it would be communicated, that it would be passed on from one person to another person. It would be spreading. We just did a Christmas party for our staff at a restaurant up in Edmonds called Scott's Bar and Grill. And anybody that's been through Scott's, it's a pretty lively place. And we were there just having a good time. It was a great party. It was, you know, an 8, I'd say, out of 10. We were having a good time. And Deb was late to come to the party because she had an event at the school. And so as she was leaving, she happened to be raising money for our Kenya trip by hiring Santa to come and having people take pictures with Santa. And so that was the fundraiser at the school. And the Santa that she does this with is an alumni at the school our kids go to and the school she went to. And he's this great guy. He's gregarious. He's got this amazing laugh. And he's Santa. I mean, he is Santa. Like, this guy is Santa. He's got even the curly mustache, right? Not just the regular one. And so he says, well, why don't I come along with you to the party? And she's like, okay, you can come with me, and I'll buy you dinner or something, you know. And so Santa comes in, and I'm telling you, whatever, you know, notch of excitement was, that place went to an 11. Like, people were so excited. Our waiter was like Will Ferrell in Elf. He was like, Santa's here! It's Santa! He was so happy to see him, and Garth was super excited to see him. So all of a sudden, everybody wanted pictures with Santa, and Corb got the first picture, and there's Corb with Santa, and then Aaron and Amanda, the old pull the beard shot, you know? And then we got one of Dell and Kathy, I think, yeah? Dell and Kathy getting their Christmas photo in. And then there was one more, too. I can't remember which the last one. Oh, yes, that was Garth. See? Santa even loves Canadians. So, there. So, but Santa came, and all of a sudden, it was like, it was the best. And then all of a sudden, he goes around the room. And this guy, I mean, he's one of those Santas. He has an anecdote for everything. I mean, he's just constantly talking. He never stops. You know, I just can't imagine what it would be like to be married to him. He's an amazing guy, but he's got something to say to everybody over everything. You know, what do you want for Christmas? He's got a comeback. Oh, I had a BB gun once, you know, and when I went hunting with that BB gun when I was 10 years old. You know, he just goes on and tells a story. And so he's working the room. Like, he goes around the room to each and every table, and people are so excited. It's, we brought Santa, Scott's Bar and Grill, you know? And the manager of the restaurant is like, this is the best. He goes up to him, and he's like, I want to hire you. And he got a gig that night, you know, from us bringing him over. And it was this amazing moment. And I just recognized, you know, this guy really embodied, you know, the potential in this season, right, for this contagious joy, and that joy can light up an entire room of people, just one person with this energy and this excitement over the joy of this season. And of course, this guy was really gifted at it, but it lifted everyone's mood. It never ceases to amaze me that one person can light up an entire room because of the energy and the joy that they bring. And I just wanted to encourage you, you know, let's be that Santa at Scott's Bar and Grill. Let's be that for our offices this week. Let's be that for our schools. Let's be that for our neighborhood. And I know that's a lot of pressure sometimes, but the potential is in you to spread joy in a contagious way, to make it contagious, to bring it to other people, and to lighten up somebody's mood this year. God give you the grace to be that kind of a person this year, because joy is contagious. And then lastly, this joy is our salvation. I see this theme perhaps most clearly in this passage. The prophet is speaking to a community of people who are in bondage. They're subservient to the Assyrians at this point in time. They have experienced profound loss. There's very little reason for hope at this point in time in Israel's history. And in the midst of this moment, the prophet says, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. And I recognize no matter what pain, no matter what kind of loss you've experienced, no matter how painful and devastating the blow, joy is your salvation. Joy is your salvation. I've done several funerals as a pastor, and fortunately twice as many weddings as funerals, but have done some funerals from time to time. And in particular, those funerals when a person has passed on way too early, or it's a sudden or a tragic situation, those ones are the most difficult by far. But it's amazing that even in those most difficult moments, and I don't think I've ever been to a funeral where this hasn't happened, almost every time, and usually during the time of sharing where family and friends come and share, the moment of profound sadness and sorrow has this shift. And usually what happens is, and I'm sure that most of you have experienced this as well, if you've ever attended a funeral, someone will share a memory. Someone will share an anecdote of a conversation they had with this person that just captures their personality. And there's this collective sense in the room in that moment of, oh yeah, you know, and there's a smile and there's a laugh in the room, and it breaks the burden of pain and sorrow that people are feeling. This moment of release as people recognize, oh, the memory of this person lives on. And we also recognize that where before maybe we saw, you know, their passing as a loss in our life, we recognize the potential of their life to be a gift. That the time that we had with them was a gift. And the joy that comes in that moment is a saving joy. It saves us. It brings healing to our hearts. It helps us recognize that there is a future for us. The memory of this person will live on in my memory. And I see their life as a gift. I don't see this as a loss anymore. And that's a profound moment in a situation like that, in a funeral. And you recognize joy is salvation. It is a saving work of grace that God does in our lives. Joy brings healing. Joy brings reconciliation. Joy is redemptive in nature. And joy is your future. It's what you were created for. You will experience healing through God's joy. The joy of the Lord will be your strength. This is the refrain of the psalmist David in one of the most devastating and difficult and painful situations in his life. He had just lost an infant son. And he said to God, he prayed to God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because he knew that the joy of God's salvation was the only thing that was going to bring redemption and healing in that moment of profound sadness. So it has the ability to restore a person who has been wounded. It has the power to heal the brokenhearted and to give strength to the weak. The joy of the Lord is our salvation. And so, may you experience the joy of the Lord this season. May you recognize the joy is here, now. It's present. It's all around you. May the joy of the Lord chase after you and overcome you. May you be so filled with joy that everyone around you catches it. And may you know that no matter how brokenhearted or how heavy or dark the season of life is for you, you've been created for joy. And joy is your future. And joy is our salvation. I'm going to pray and close us this morning. God, we are just grateful for this season of Christmas. God, we recognize there's something in this season that brings with it such a sense of joy. And God, we recognize that it's your coming into this world. God, you have given us reason to be joyful. You've given us reason to hope in the future. You've given us life and life to the full. And God, I pray that as the people of God, that we would immerse ourselves in that this season. God, that we would allow it to be so internalized within us. God, that we could share it and express it with everyone that we come into contact with. And God, encourage us with your joy. Heal us with your joy. Save us through your joy. God, I pray that we would find reason in any and every moment to be joyful in who you are and all you have done in our lives. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.